chapter 8, verse 1. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. Father, we thank you this morning that we are privileged to be in the house of God, feel the presence of the Lord, be together with your people. Thank you, Lord, that you have kept your promise to us that where 2 or 3 are gathered together in your name, that you would be there in the midst. And I pray this morning that you'd minister to every heart in this place. I pray that not one would leave here this morning unsaved. I pray, Lord, that the Spirit of God would deal with hearts. You'd save souls. You'd sanctify hearts. You'd fill with the Spirit and the power of God. Lord, I pray that you'd encourage the saints of God in this hour. Strengthen our faith, Father, as we face trials and temptations and tests, Lord. I pray this morning that the Word of God would be precious to us. And I pray for your anointing this morning, Father. We realize that without the Lord, we can do nothing. We give you the praise for all the help you give, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I would like to preach for just a few minutes this morning on Mary Magdalene. I don't think I've ever preached on Mary Magdalene before, but she got on my mind. So I'm going to tell you about Mary Magdalene this morning. She's one of the most prominent women in the New Testament. And women are not really that prominent in the New Testament, but when they are mentioned, there's some women in this New Testament record that would put most men to shame in their devotion to Jesus Christ. There are a lot of legends that have sprung up around the life of Mary Magdalene. Movies have been made about her in recent days, months, years. And the skeptics and scoffers and mockers have made her out to be the wife of Jesus or made her out to be a fornicator with Jesus. And of course, none of that is true. No historical fact to it. It's just the surmising of men, evil hearts and minds. But the Bible does tell us some things about Mary Magdalene. And we'll try to focus on the biblical record this morning about this woman. First of all, we're told about her condition when she met Jesus. It is said that this woman had 7 devils. She was possessed with 7 devils when she met Jesus. We don't know how this woman came to be in such a terrible shape. How was it that a woman who one day had been an innocent little girl like all of these other little girls around here this morning, she had a mother, father, raised in a home, she's just an innocent little girl, but somewhere along the line, her path deviated and she began to consort with devils in some way until her life was possessed by many devils. And we know that in the New Testament there are various manifestations of lives that have been possessed by the devil. Sometimes those lives are immoral. And we remember the Syrophoenician woman that came to Jesus. And she was pleading with Jesus for help for her daughter. And Jesus ignored her cry and her plea because she was a Gentile. He was testing her faith. But this woman persisted until she got an answer. And this was her request. Jesus, Thou son of David, have mercy on me and heal my daughter, for she hath an unclean spirit. Well, we're not told exactly what that unclean spirit was all about, but most likely it was a morally unclean spirit. In the Gentile world of that day, immorality was rampant just like it is in our day. And these devils sometimes manifested in people's lives in wanton immorality in their lives. Sometimes the manifestation of devils in a person's life would be seen in the tendency toward suicide. Remember the young boy at the foot of the Mount of Transfiguration that his father came seeking help, and Jesus was up in the mountain, so he came to the disciples seeking help for his son. And he said, my son will throw himself into the fire. He throw himself into the water. The devil's trying to kill him. And oftentimes this is some of the manifestations of the devil in a person's life, is a suicidal thoughts and activity. Sometimes it's manifested not just in such a state of depression, but in uncontrolled anger. And you remember the man that Jesus healed him, cast the devils out of him. His name was Legion. He dwelt in the tombs. Everybody's afraid of him. Society can't tame him. They tried to bind him. He breaks the ropes that they put on him. Nobody can tame him. Everybody's afraid of him. And he is a violent man. The devils possess this man's life. He cannot live in society. He does not wear any clothes. And he is cruel to his own self, cutting himself with knives. He's the devil is manifests himself in the cruelty toward his own self. This woman didn't have just one devil. She had seven devils in her. So there may have been many manifestations in her life of these devils possessing her life. Many people think she was an immoral woman, and it's very possible due to the fact that she was possessed with the devil. And she may have been a very depressed woman, because oftentimes this devil possession is manifested in deep depression. You know, it's also evident that she was a woman of some means. She followed Jesus around, ministering to him of her substance. So she was not a poor woman. She was a woman who had some means at her hand that she could minister to Christ and the disciples. She did not come from the other side of the tract. So I want you to understand something. It's not just people from the other side of the track that has problem with the devil. Well, it's all kinds of people that have trouble with the devil. It doesn't matter how rich or poor you may be, how educated or uneducated you may be, the devil is out after your life to destroy your life. And there are many people with plenty of money in the bank and that the devil controls their life. Here's a woman that's been made miserable in spite of the fact that she is a woman of some means, because the devil has taken possession of her life. No doubt she is a hopeless woman. Nowhere to turn to get deliverance from this power that's gripped her life that she cannot get loose from until she heard about Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. And she heard that Jesus had power over the devil. Praise God. And besides that, Jesus has had some dealings with women of bad reputation. In fact, when you look in the Bible, you will find a lot of them that had come from a bad background, from a poor reputation. and you look at the very lineage of Jesus Christ, there are four women in that lineage, all of them with bad reputations. Tamar is in there. She had an affair with her father-in-law, an incestuous affair. And Rahab is in there, and Rahab was a harlot, but she became a believer in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Ruth is in there. Ruth came from the Moabite people. They were people of idolatry and immorality. But there came a time in her life when she said to her mother-in-law, "Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God." This woman became part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. Bathsheba's in that lineage. Bathsheba was the woman that David committed adultery with. She became the mother of Solomon. She's also included in the lineage of Jesus Christ. But Jesus had some personal encounters with women of bad reputation. When he went to the well at Samaria, he met a woman there at that well, asked her for a drink of water. And she wanted to know, "Why are you asking me for a drink of water? I'm a Samaritan." She didn't make mention of the fact at that time that she'd had five husbands and was living with one that wasn't her husband. But Jesus knew that all the time. And he'd come to that well to meet with that woman of low repute. Well, when Jesus said to her, "Woman, if you knew who it was that's talking to you, and if you knew the gift of God, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water that you'd never thirst again." Praise God. And before that encounter was over with, that woman had tasted of living water. She left her pot at the well and carried the well home with her. Because Jesus said, "I'm going to give you a well of water, springing up inside of you unto eternal life." And she carried home a well with her. And she said, "I want you to come see a man that told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ?" Praise God. And as a result of her testimony, many other people came to hear Jesus and became believers on the Son of God. One day they brought a woman to Jesus that they said, the Pharisees said, "We caught her in the very act of adultery. Moses said to stone her. What do you say do with her?" And Jesus said to those men, he said, "He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone." Now what Jesus was saying to those men is this. He was saying, if you have never broken the law of God, if you have never sinned, if you have never broken the law of God, you are qualified to execute the punishment of the law. And these men began to consider their own life and realized that at some point they too had broken the law of God. And one by one they walked away and left that woman there alone with Jesus. Nobody threw a stone. All the accusers walked away. Jesus was writing in the sand and looked up and said, "Woman, where are those thine accusers?" Well, she said, "Lord, I have none." And here is this trembling woman in the presence of a man who is qualified to throw the stone. He has never broken the law. He did no sin, and neither was guile found in his mouth. He was qualified to throw the stone at that woman, but he said to her, "Woman, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." I'm telling you that Jesus Christ had the power to condemn her, but he had the power to set her free as well. Praise God. And he spoke those words, "Woman, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Hallelujah. So the Son of God had had some experience with women who had a bad reputation. And he changed their lives and made them women of purity, made them women of righteousness and holiness. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so when he met this woman, Mary Magdalene, so hopeless in her condition, so bound by the devil, but Jesus set her free. Jesus delivered her from the powers of hell, cast the devils out of her, and made her a different woman. You see, this woman has had a miracle to take place in her life. And she's not sorry about it either. And I'm going to tell you something. When you get delivered from the power of sin, and you get set free from the power of the devil, you won't be sorry about it. You'll be glad that Jesus has set you free. Praise God. Well, after the Lord set her free, she became a disciple of Jesus Christ. She began to follow him because, listen to this, because she wanted to learn from him. She was like that other Mary that sat at his feet to listen to what Jesus had to say. Praise God. You know, everybody that gets saved, this ought to be one of the first things that you notice about their life. They want to learn more about Jesus. They want to learn more about the teachings of Christ. They want to learn what Jesus has to say. His commands, his promises. They have a hunger and a thirst for the Word of God, as the Bible says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. And this woman had that thirst in her. She became a disciple. She began to follow Jesus. But she didn't just begin to follow Jesus and learn from Jesus. She began to provide for the needs of Jesus and his disciples. You notice in my text that there were certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene. Joanna, the wife of Cusa. Herod's steward. This woman, her husband had been part of the administration of Herod. She moved in high circles, but she had become a disciple of Jesus Christ. And Susanna and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. And so these women who were people of some means, high society people who were followers of Jesus, and they ministered to Christ and to his disciples out of their means. It was for them, listen to me now, it was for them a way of saying thanks for what the Lord had done for them. Praise God. Oh yeah, you see, that these women had been healed of evil spirits, and they'd been healed of infirmities. And they, in return, began to support the ministry of Jesus Christ. It was their way of saying, thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. Thank you, Jesus, for making me whole. I'm going to support the transmission of the truth, and I'm going to support the preaching of the truth. I'm going to support the Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples as they go about teaching and preaching the truth. These women ministered to Jesus out of their means. You know, when we pass around the offering plate on Sunday morning, this isn't just an exercise that has no relevance to our worship. This is a way that we have of saying thanks to God for his blessings and benefits upon my life. He saved me. He delivered me. And so we support the work of Christ and the kingdom of God because we are thankful for what God has done in our life. Hallelujah. It's one way that we have of saying thanks. You notice that the kind of company this woman's keeping, she's moving in circles of other people who have been delivered from infirmities and who've been delivered from the powers of hell. Now then, she's moving in those kinds of circles. Whereas, no doubt, in times past, it was the nightclub life. It may have been the red light district life. She moved in different circles until she was touched by the hand of Jesus and delivered by the power of Jesus. And then she began to move in different circles, brother. She began to move in the circles of those people who also had been delivered by the hand of Jesus Christ. Oh my, when you get saved, you change company. Praise God. When you get saved, you move away from that company that is still in the grip of sin and still taking orders from hell, and you begin to move in the ranks of those people who have experienced the same touch of Jesus and the same deliverance from Jesus that you have. They become your people from that point on. That's the reason why we go to church. You don't have to make us go to church. You don't have to send pink slips or whatever to our house. We go to church because we love the brethren. We too have been delivered. We love to move in the company of those people who've experienced the same kind of deliverance that we've experienced in our life. Those people become our people. You notice about Mary Magdalene that of all the followers of Jesus, she was one of the few that stuck with him to the very end. I'm telling you, brother, this woman never ran. And along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Mary, the other Mary, and a few other women, these women stuck close to Christ to the very end. Friends to Jesus, showing compassion to the Son of God. In the book of Matthew, I believe it's around 26, 27, you can read about Mary Magdalene. When Jesus is being crucified, Matthew chapter 27, they talk about Jesus dying, the centurion, saying truly this was the Son of God, Matthew 27, 55. And many women were there, beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. And then Joseph of Arimathea, this rich man, comes and begs the body of Jesus, and along with Nicodemus takes him and lays him in his new grave. And the Bible says, when they rolled that great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed, in verse 61, there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. Look at this. Sitting over against the sepulchre. They were there. They watched him die. They accompanied his body to the grave. And Mary sat down over against the grave. The Bible didn't say what she was doing, but she's probably wiping tears because she loved that man who had set her free from the powers of hell. But that's not the last of her. Hallelujah. Chapter 28 and verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And that was a great earthquake. The angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. For fear of him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men. And the angels answered and said unto the women, fear not, ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Mary Magdalene evidently went with the other women to carry the news to the disciples that Jesus is risen from the dead. But she come back to the tomb to weep. Evidently she didn't grasp what all of this meant. She's weeping, and Jesus appears to her. Woman, why are you weeping? She said, because they've come and taken my Lord, and I don't know where they put him. And Jesus said, Mary,
She said, Rabboni. She recognized him. That was Jesus, her Lord, her Savior, her Deliverer. And she became one of the first witnesses. She was the first witness of the resurrected Lord. She had a message to tell. Oh, hallelujah. That man that delivered me, that man that had power over hell, he's also got power over death. He's resurrected from the dead. He lives. Hallelujah. He's a resurrected Savior. And she bore the glad news of the resurrected Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, brother and sister, I don't know how to just tell this like I need to, I guess. But isn't it wonderful that no matter how deep in sin we may have gone, there's power in the name of Jesus to set us free from our sins, change our lives, change our company, change our affections, so that they are set on Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That song Sister Laura's brother sang here, her grandmother used to sing, I traded my sins for salvation. I traded my load for relief. I got peace from my condemnation and the joy of the Lord for my grief. I traded a life that was wasted. Now it's a temple to dwell in, God made. And I got so much more than I had before. I surely got the best of the trade. I'll say Mary Magdalene could have said that. Praise God. I surely got the best of the trade. Brother Kendall, if you will, come to the piano this morning. We're going to open this altar in case there's somebody here that needs Jesus. Oh my, you can trade your sins for salvation. Trade your load for relief. Get peace for condemnation and the joy of the Lord for grief. Praise God. You become a temple to dwell in. God will live in your body. Hallelujah.